Okay. Okay, everybody said. So tonight's sugya, it starts out as a very, seemingly not so relevant maisa aspect of the sugya in terms of Kiryat Kerem. But believe it or not, some of the yesodos that we're going to be discussing now touch very, very much in terms of the basic yesodos of kashrus and related other sugyas, which are going to have some serious ramifications la halacha as well. So the reason why we got into the discussion about Kiryat Kerem, when we put things into a perspective, it was actually a really continuation of what we spoke about, we were speaking about really the last couple of weeks, in terms of the general principle, in terms of Yisri Achila, in terms of Yisri Hanah, that whenever something is done Shalok Kederach, so Shalok Kederach pretty much mitigates it, that it's no longer an Issa Deraisa, with a few exceptions. The two exceptions that the Gemara singled out, well, one was Kiryat Kerem, and one was Basta Cholov, and the common denominator is that neither of them have a Lashon Achila. So whenever the Achila, Lashon Achila isn't used, then the Yisr becomes even Shalok Kederach, and of course we spent a lot of time last week trying to understand whether we can extract it from the Yom Kippur. That was the Shagatai, that was the whole show last week. Is Yom Kippur also one of those in a sense, exceptions to the rule? But getting back to Kiryat Kerem, which is clearly an exception to the rule, and clearly breaks one of these rules of the Yisri Achila, Yisri Hanah, that's awesome in HaTorah, even Shalok Kederach. The Gemara goes on to a very, very complicated discussion about Chafem and Aleph, about some of the intricacies and nuances of Kiryat Kerem. And one of the parts of this discussion revolves around a Mishnah that appears in Maseches Kelayim, and that's in the middle of Chafem and Aleph. We're going to pick up the sugya right smack in the middle of Chafem and Aleph, the part that's relevant for us. The first one line is Sha'as. Gemara quotes the end of the line, Masir Rav Shemaya. Hamavir Atzitz Nokov B'Kerem. If a person has a kerem, he has a vineyard, and he has a flower pot. And inside his flower pot, so he has grain growing, he has wheat and barley inside the flower pot. Now we know, it's in other areas of halacha, a flower pot that has a hole in the bottom of it is considered to be mechuba lakarka. In December, we consider it to be the nourishment, the aniki, whatever that means, it's hard for us to understand. It's chazal has a tradition, and whenever you have a flower pot with a hole in the bottom, that's considered to be mechuba lakarka, even on a level of piraisa. Whereas if you have what's called an atzitz she'eino nokov, if you have a flower pot without a hole in the bottom, then it's at worst only midirabanan. And this is true in many, many areas of halacha. One of them, of course, you have being kiryat kerem. So if a person is carrying his flower pot in his vineyard, and he's walking around carrying a flower pot with wheat and barley inside, and he's now carrying it, transporting it through the vineyard, so believe it or not, we view it up here halacha, that anything that's growing in the flower pot is mechubar to what's inside the kerem, inside the vineyard, and that is potentially tantamount to being, believe it or not, a violation of Kili HaKerem. Now, the violation of Kili HaKerem has multiple ramifications. So, number one, it's also to do it. And number two, if you do it, so then the resulting produce becomes also Bechilu Vahano. So the Mishnah in Kilayim says that a Mavrat is not going to be Kerem. So at what point do you say that it mamish grew together as Kiryat Kerem? So im hosif masayim asim. If the person's walking with the flower pot and he stands there for a couple of hours, I don't know, my knowledge of botany isn't so good, but he's the last person who had to pursue a degree in botany to learn the Rishamu was the Korban Eidl. Korban Eidl was a Perish under Rishamu. He was a Rav in Berlin in the 1700s. And when he started to write his parish on the Risham, he realized that he didn't know the ABCs of botany. So he enrolled in a course in the University of Berlin about botany. So you can imagine, an 80-year-old Rav, long coat, sitting and taking notes in Berlin. Strange story. Anyway, so the Mishnah says that if a person is walking with his flower pot with the wheat and barley inside it, and it sits there for a long time, it's hanging out there for a long time, and whatever's growing inside the flower pot starts to grow and grow and grow and grow. So now if you think about it, part of it which grew behetter. All the wheat that grew beforehand was growing behetter. But all the part that's growing subsequently is growing the Yisr. So now you have basically a taroves of Yisr and Heter. So at what point do we say that you have too much Yisr that's going to pose a problem? So the Mishnah gives the following shem. Chesef Masayim Asur. If it added on already more than a 200 of what was there from beforehand. So for argument's sake, if there were 150 molecules of a heter beforehand, and now one molecule of Issa grows, then you have a problem. If there were 200 molecules of heter before and only one grows, let's say you had 201, one grows, so then lo hosim asayim, then everything's going to be mutter. So that's the shiur that the Mishnah gives you in Maseches Kelayim, that if it grows a very, very minuscule amount, that less than 200th, then you're free. If it grows more than 200th, then you have a problem. And of course the question is, where in the world did this number, this magic number 200 come from? So comes Rashi and says, the math is very simple. So says Rashi, take a look, the Dibra Maschal HaMavir Otzitznach HaBekerem. Okay, we did at least part of Rashi. HaMavir Otzitznach HaBekerem, it's in the middle-sized lines, about 8 or 9 lines down, towards the end of the line. HaMavir Otzitznach HaBekerem was run b'socho. There are seeds of other crops inside it. Shekvar Tzomchu. They've already grown a little bit. Hosif HaTzemach B'Kerem Masayim. If it starts to grow more, Echa Min HaMasayim Sheyesh Bo Achshav Shemitchilo Ha'ibo Kuv Tzadi Tes Shiurin. There used to be 199 times. Kitol Sefezu. Now you have this amount. Yachshav Yesh Bo Masayim Asurin. Why? Lefi She'ein Beheter HaRishayim Kedei Levavta Latei Sefes HaAsur Sha'or Levekilayim Ein Betel Elbe Masayim Shal Heter Levada Isur. Boom. So Rashi just told you the secret. Rashi told you the answer. Rashi says there's a din in Hilchos Tarovis. We know that we have a little bit of trace that falls into kosher food. So there are different shiurim, there are different measures, different ratios as to what point do we say the davar asur is batel. Some things may be a batel berov, other things may be batel b'shishim, some things are batel b'beya, and it just happens to be that kilayim is one of those things that's batel b'masayim. Let's have an example. I would have some Kilei HaKerem wine. Wine that came 100% Isser of Kilei HaKerem. One drop of that wine falls into a tremendous, tremendous barrel of kosher wine. So it's a bottle. But if I have a lot of Kilei HaKerem, even though I may have less than Shishim, but I have up until the point of 200, if I don't have 200 times Heter to the one drop of Isser, then Kilei HaKerem is not bottle. Now, don't ask me where in the world that magic number came from. That's the Mishnah Maseches Kelayim. Hopefully we're going to talk about that as the sugya develops a little bit later on. So comes Rashi and says, what is taking place in the flower pot is not fundamentally different than what's taking place in the barrel of wine. Same way, if you have a big, big barrel of wine, a little bit of what we call trefal wine of Kilei HaKerem falls in, it's botel b'masayim. So too, if you have a plant that's growing, and most of the plant grew b'heter, a small part of the plant grew b'yisr, if the ratio is 200 to 1 of heter b'yisr, then you're okay. If the ratio is not enough 200 to 1, then you're posed with a problem. So that's how Rashi presents the sugya, that there's nothing fundamentally new happening in the sugya. It's just an extrapolation of the regular rules of bittul. Again, we don't know where that magic number 200 came from. We will find out later. But it's not fundamentally different than classic bittul, at least as bittul plays out in terms of Kilei HaKerem. This is Rashi's presentation of the sugya. Because you already start to hear some feedback about this. Okay, that's an interesting idea. Min b'mino. Min b'mino is a big machlokes of tanoim, and probably the halacha is not going to pose too much of a problem. And even those tanoim who accept min b'mino probably wouldn't have too much of a problem with this for tactical grounds. But what doesn't sound right here?
Unlike the case of where one wine falls into another wine, here the growth retains its separate. There's no mixture. It retains its separate identity.
That's true. That's true. The question is, should that, or you're touching on, we're going to get to that point. Okay, we'll get to that a little bit later, talk about bittul. There's something fishy. There's something very, very fishy about Kilei HaKerem, particularly the application of the principle of bittul concerning Kilei HaKerem. Let's take a look at another strange potential bittul and see if we can extrapolate from that strange potential bittul back to over here. So let's take a look in a sugya that appears in Maseches Nida. I asked them to bring Maseches Nida. It's a sugya that appears in the Samach Aleph of the days in Maseches Nida. It's also a din of Kilayim, albeit a different application of Kilayim. This is talking about Kilei HaGodim Shabbos. So in the Samach Aleph of the days, the third line from the top, Tanur Rabban. Beget she'oved by kelayim, if I have an article of clothing, and kelayim is lost in it. What does it mean it's lost in it? It means, l'marshal, I have a tremendous garment of wool, and I know for a fact that they stuck a piece of a thread of linen in there. The problem is I can't find it. Not to experience it. Shatness checking, I can't find it. I know it's there, but I can't find it. So I'm looking at this tremendous woolen garment, and somewhere stuck in there is linen. So the assumption of this b'raisa is that there's no way in the world I'm allowed to wear this. It's no shy that this is what shatness. But here the Gemara quotes that in a certain sense, this type of shatness is even more serious than regular shatness. Why? Hareza lo yim kirena lo adi kichavim. You shouldn't even sell this kind of shatness to a goy. A goy is allowed to wear shatness. What's the problem? He'll go ahead and sell it to a Jew. If I sell him shatness, that's recognizable shatness. It says on the label 80% wool, 20% linen. So what Jews, what from Jews going to buy? But if I sell him something that looks like wool, no one in the right mind would ever figure out there's a piece of linen in there. So that could potentially lead to a michshol. So that's what that's the goal of this brayza. Teach me this. If you said they're abundant to sell to a guy, lest he goes ahead and turn and sells it to a Jew. But it's clear from the brayza that to wear it. Of course it's awesome. It's the shot of Bible. This is awesome. No, what do you think? You think it's a partial that's awesome?
Why isn't it bottle?
What?
Why wouldn't it be bottle?
Why isn't it bottle? So Judy asks the question, why isn't it bottle? Normally we know what makes something bottle in halacha. Basically when you can't want, you can't identify it, right? Of course, you can't see it, can't identify it. So I have this tremendous coat of wool. One minuscule thread of linen. I'm looking, I can't find it. Why is that fundamentally different than a drop of chazid that falls into a big pot of soup? That's my shayla. This is not my shayla, this is Tosfos' shayla. So comes Tosfos, Beged she'oved b'kelayim, lo yim kirena lo v'kichavim, the second Tosfos on Samach Aleph on Beit Avida, v'yim toim refrek Tosfos, v'lifto b'ruba. Tosfos says, why don't we say that that one piece of thread of linen should be batel b'rov? So Tosfos doesn't just ask the question, misvar like I did, Tosfos supports the question, not the most common shayla, but a person went ahead and he took the hair that was taken off a nazir's head. Pasuk says, "Vashel nasof kadosh." Yeah, so say another. Was one of the yomi. Was one of the three enough? But for just the case, the person has a tremendous type of kadosh isha would say a nazir. You should just know we shouldn't do that. Okay, because he wants to present with a nice shetel, so from a nice shetel of a nazira, that would be kedusha wouldn't be types. So the din is that say a nazir is aser. So the sugya says in the Edom Masechus Tamura, what would be the din if a person used a little bit of a seir of the nazir, it got woven into a beged, and I can't tell, I can't see where it is. So the Brisis, the Mishnah, the Brisis at the end of the Torah says, so you don't, you have to burn the entire beged. So Tosfos quoting, Frek the Gemara, for the Stubaruba, why can't you say that the hair of the nazir should be bottled berov? So the Gemara answers, Mishani betziparta she'arba tzuras tzipa dechashav lo batil. So the Gemara gives it, don't keep the hochem ha'eskinan, you made some kind of a design with the hair, and now it's a little choshev, it's not bottles, we're not learning the sugyas of Seir Nazir right now. What is Tosfos quoting that Gemara for? Why is Tosfos quoting that Gemara? To extrapolate, not so much the Teretz, but the Kasha, right? The Kasha of the Gemara. The Litla Baruba. You see from the Gemara that Rove doesn't only apply, Litla Baruba doesn't just apply to in our kitchens, Litla Baruba applies to all types of Yisurim. So let this Seir Nazir be bottle Baruba. So too, let the Pishtun be bottled the robe of the tzemek. Now again, if the pishtum is recognizable, then it's not bitl b'rov. So I have three pieces of meat, two of them are kosher, one straight, and they all have the labels on it, that's not bitl b'rov. If I can tell what it is, that's called nikra isser. But kol zman, that's not recognizable, it should be bottled the robe. That's the kosher. The eighth one, the text comes up to me. The loshayach bitl b'rov, elekisha isser m'ura v'heter, about kelayim sheshneim heter v'nesorin ayidei tarovas kach osir hameruba kibo hamulat. What did Tosfos say? What you say? Did Tosfos say? This is what does bittul v'rov mean? When you have a dovra osir, that's this arev and a dovra mutar. There are certain isurim that the whole essence, the whole nature of the isur is dafka because there's a tarevis. When you have chazir, so sticking chazir into a tarevis is good for us. That's what we wanted. We want to get rid of the chaza. So stick it into enough of it. I don't mean you literally do it, but a little bit of chaza falls into a big pot of chicken soup. Enough of it falls in. It's enough for the tarev. It's not. But there are certain isurim when the whole isur, the whole name of the isur is nikra al shem tarev shabai. The whole davar asur is asur because it's a tarev. So it's like double talk. You can turn and say, let the kelai, let the pishta be botel in the tarovis of tzemer. Good morning, that's exactly what Torah says now I do. The Torah asas the tarovis. Says it's the davra mutter, with the davra mutter, that's good for the yisr.
So how can you...
Oh, wait, we're coming the next kasha. So how could you even begin to discuss bitul and the whole nature of the yisr is an yisr derech tarovis?
The Torah asur just... on a ratio, meaning how do we know that this is a tarovis, that's
exactly when you say tarovis. The whole notion of tarovis is when you have an issa which is over b'fnei atzmai. So then I say, well, it's also when it's chazir. So if you throw in enough soup, it's ois chazir. Whereas over here, there's nothing wrong with tzemer. There's nothing wrong with pishtan. The whole nature of the issa is derech tarovis. You can't turn around and use the reason which created the issa to create the heter effect. That's what the
Torah says. There's no
goal. Because the rov doesn't make any sense. The notion of rov doesn't make any sense. It's a yisoy from Torah. You know, I had a discovery last night. I must have married. Let's see. I don't know how many years I've been married. Cedra, over after my mitzvah. I can't say I started at the age of 30. A good over, well over 30 years I've been married Cedra. And since I do the Rashi, I'm not such a Yerush Shemayah to the Targum also. Just my eye put the Targum yesterday, and I thought of a riddle. I had to call my Yachman and ask him, I want to see whether he gets this riddle. I said, give me a name of a Masechta that the Aramaic translation of that Masechta is another Masechta. Oh, come on, we're learning it. Kelayim. You know what the Aramaic word, you know what the Targum says, the translation, the official Targum translation for Kelayim is? Ubeglam Erevin. That's the name of Kelayim, it's Erevin. So then, if you wouldn't get it, so then I was going to ask him, it's the same Masechta that if you take out a letter, you have another Masechta. If you take out the Aleph of Kelayim, you end up with Kalim. No, change letters. Okay, anyway, it's just a piece of trivia I discovered last night. That's what happens when you marry a Sedra at a wedding. You start to think of everything. So things kind of come your way. Okay. So, the problem was that the chuppah was so long and the parsha wasn't so long that I finished before I could start something else. Okay, anyway. So this is Yisayi from Tysus. This Yisayi from Tysus, L'chora, is arguably, I hope, which great Rishon disagrees with this Tysus? Rashi and Asugi. Because Rashi and Asugi just applied the rules of Bittol to Kilayim. Albeit Tosfos talking about Kili Begodin, and Rashi talking about Kili Hakerem. The same Yisrael, Kili Hakerem. There's nothing wrong with wheat, nothing wrong with barley, nothing wrong with grapes. But when you mix it together, you have a disaster. So Rashi says that what ultimately defines whether you have Kilayim, Kili Hakerem or not, are the rules of Bittol. Okay, they're not exactly wrong. They're Bittol B'Masayim. Those are technical details.
It's the
Brisa,
it's not Rashi.
No, because the Brisa is saying that
it's not. The Mishnah didn't say that the mechanism is based on Bittul. Rashi is the one who says based on Bittul. There may be a whole other reason for that Din of Masayim. There is a Din of Masayim, but Rashi is the one who connects it to the Din of Bittul. When you have a cup of Kilakerm wine, the Isla is already created, it's already treif, and now that Kilakerm wine gets mixed up into other wine, that's fine. That I can use Bittul for. That doesn't matter if you use Bittul. But in the creation of the Isser, to use Bittul, that's a no-no, says Tosfos. And Rashi violated that no-no. Rashi used Bittul in defining whether or not we have a problem of Kilayim Karam on our hands in the first place.
Is the Shear in that case 200 also for Tosfos? Where you already have Kilayim Karam wine?
Yeah, everyone agrees. There is. That's a Mishnah. That, but that's not a violation of Tosfos. Because there you have a Dover Osir, and now we're trying to figure out is the Dover Osir Bottle.
Right.
Tosfos says you can't use Bittul.
The same Echab and Masayim Shear is going to apply when I have a Dover. Is there already falling into Heter by Kilayim? And when I'm making Kilayim for the first time from two items.
No, according to Tosfos or Rashi?
According to
Tosfos. Would you make Kilayim from two items? There's no number. It doesn't matter what the numbers are. There's no such thing as Bittul. There's another reason for this Shia Messiah, but it's nothing to do with this.
Separate Shia Messiah.
Separate Bittul has nothing to do with the Bittul. Right. Nothing to do with anything. Right. It's a totally different thing. We don't know what it is yet, but we know what it's not. So, Steve asked the obvious question on this thesis is, let's think in our minds, all the millions of examples in the Chumash, all three of them, the millions of cases where you have a Davra Mutter and a Davra Mutter that combine together to create an Isser. So one of them is Kili HaKerem, One of them is killer begadim, and of course the third is basl. Okay, well, they don't have a result in Yisrael. Okay? Basl cholov. So based on this Yisrael thesis, what should follow is that if I have a little bit of meat and a little bit of milk, I should have basl cholov on my hands. And don't tell me a story about rove. I'm not interested in bittul the rove, I'm not interested in it. Because basl cholov should be a classic example of two dvarim mutarim that combine together to create an Isser. The Isser is the Taroivis, the Isser is the Eruvin, and there shouldn't be any heter whatsoever of this one. That's the chayr, what should happen based on the Taisvis, and we all know that that is in fact not the case, but the Rosh points out to us why in fact that is not the case. Let's take a look at the Rosh in the Sefer Seder. Actually, in the middle of the Sefer Nida, all of a sudden the Rosh put all the dim of Shatnez, because there's a whole sugya in Nida about Shatnez. So it's on page Pei Gimel, in the back of the Rosh. So Pei Gimel is where it starts. Through this piece of the Rosh itself is. I don't know if you can get it. The Rosh is there, I can tell you. It's the Rosh in the back of Masechet Nida. It's the Hilchot Kilei Begadim of the Rosh. So if I can find exactly where it is. Yeah, it's on page Pei Gimel Mabez in the slides. It's the regular standard in the Maras. It should be in the Pei Gimel Mabez in the back of the Rosh. It's the first paragraph. It's not the first paragraph. So first he quotes the Tosfos. The Hadabaina, it's first word line is shell. It's about 12 lines or so down. 10 lines down or so. The Hadabainan. Third word line. By the period. The Hadabainan Nesinas Tam Bibasa Bakhalov. Kmobishari Surin. There's a fairish mishnah in Sam's school that says that if a little tiny drop of milk falls with a big pot of meat, it's muta. It's like the ABCs of your day. A little bit of milk falls, everybody knows it's bottom. It's Tam, it's bottom Bashishim. So he asks the Rosh, quite what Taisa just said, whenever you have an Issa that's Ba, in a sense, a day Eru, but a day Taroves, it's not subject to Bittul. So how does Bittul work here? So comes the Rosh and says, Afagav davi hete beheter, velo shayich be Bittul, kevish a day Taroves nesar, shayni hosam, zog the Rosh, te derech bishul osra toira, velo mikre basi becholav, beloi nesinas tam.
You
need a cold cheese burger. Yeah, we don't need to rush that. We know that. But what did the Rosh just say? There's a Mishnah in Chul and Nafkub Ches that says if you cook me a big pot of meat and a little drop of milk falls in, as long as you can't taste the milk, it's okay. So everybody learns that Mishnah thinks, oh, what's the Mishnah telling us? It's based on Bittul Baro, based on Bittul Bashishin, based on the regular din of Bittul. Dr. Rosh, wrong. It's not based on Bittul. The reason why you're allowed to eat a big pot of meat which has a little drop of milk, it has nothing to do with bittul. Bittul doesn't work here. Bittul, basl chov is not subject to bittul. You know why you're allowed to eat it? For a different reason. Because one of the preconditions for basl chov to be also, it has to be derech bishul. It has to be, at l'sadashel l'vibichov, it has to be derech bishul. Imagine the following recipe, okay? Put in 1,000 ounces of meat and put in 1 ounce of milk. Why would I do such a silly thing? No one's going to taste it. Put it into the recipe. Who puts things into recipes that don't taste? So Dr. Rosh, derech bishul asotera means when you have such a minuscule amount of milk, since nobody would ever put such things into the food, it wouldn't make the slightest bit of difference in the taste of the food, you wouldn't put it in the first place. If you wouldn't put it in the first place, al zeh lo ne'ema derech bishul, and therefore cannot possibly be asotera b'chol. But the Rosh just told us that if the when I have a little small amount of milk and a big pot of meat, it's not pshat that I have bas mechalov, but it's batel. What is it, Rabbi say? It's not that it's bas mechalov, but it's batel. What is it?
Never bas.
Nish bas mechalov. That's not called sanisim. It's not a chalosh of bas mechalov. You're missing your criteria. It's like the case of okay. Now I'll take Phil's marshal. It's like the one. It's like eating the tiny piece of cheese on top of your cold salami sandwich. It's also not Bas B'chol of Deraisa, because it's lacking Derech B'chol. Derech B'chol is one of the prerequisites for Bas B'chol of Deraisa. That's the Pshat in the Mishnah.
Absolutely. It makes sense that in the case of Lach Halach, give it to a Goy.
Oh, yeah.
When you the Mishnah over there in Kulin, the Bryce afterwards talks about the deal you to bottle shishim, by giving it to a guy.
Right.
So, according to many of the Shitas, bottle shishim, there's no applicability associated with it if there's no nesinas tam. If a guy says there's no nesinas tam, then there's no applicability of bottle shishim, which then well with the rush.
Right, okay, that happens to be true. I mean, even without the rush, it would still be true because if the mice, the goy can't taste it, shishim is a way, shishim is almost a backup plan. The pashas in the Gemara is that shishim is never, if you can't find a goy, you can trust to drink there to taste it, so never can be shishim. Right. Your facts are all right. I don't know whether, it fits into the rush, I don't know whether the rush is mukhav. I don't know if you need the rush for it. So if I say, this is an eye-opener for this rush, what are we going to do? If Tais is right, and the rush is right also, the rush is the only way to defend. Having to work could quote unquote bit the work for a bus. Well, the answer is it doesn't. So if I say this Rashi is still bichidish, a Rashi in Asugya is clearly not going down the route of Taisus, not going down the route of the Rash. Rashi in Asugya is applying bittul, the regular rules of bittul, notwithstanding the fact Kilayim is a tafel nisser that's created derech erev, it's created derech tafelis. So if I say there's another bichidish in this Rashi, tremendous bichidish. Let's go back again to the Rashi. Back to Chavei Amud Aleph. Back to the Rashi again. So Rashi is explaining to us, invoking the regular principle of bittul. Let's just play out for a minute. This guy's carrying his flower pot, and he's walking into the carriage. Okay? So he's got a dover ham. Right now everything's mutter. Right? The carom is a dover mutter. The grain inside the flower pot is a davar mutter, and he's walking, and now it starts to grow a little bit. So what's Rashi beginning to be done on? He's starting to be done on what? Is it batel? Is it not batel? Right? That's the question that's bothering Rashi. Is it batel or is it not batel? Because the part that grew before, like there was a certain amount that grew before, a certain part that grows now, Rashi is doing that, is it bottle or is it not being bottle? Is there a dover usher here yet? Is there anything that's usher yet?
No, not when he walks in.
We don't have a dover usher yet. Forget about what Tosfos wrote, the Maseches Nida, that when you have certain Yisurim, or just not neat and to bit because they're also derech tarogas. Isn't there a problem with the Rashi on a totally different grounds? Namely, who ever heard of bittul of a davar ha mutter? Doesn't bittul only apply to a davar ha asur? Forget about the nature of the Yisrael and came into the loch about the nature of the Yisrael. Who ever heard of bittul on davar ha mutter? Is there such a concept in halacha of bittul on a davar ha mutter? I've heard of bittul on davar ha asur. I heard of a little bit of nevela falls into kosher food. I never heard of bittul on davar ha mutter, or have I? So Rashi, who's just applying the regular rules of bittul, even to Dvar Mumutarim, is taking a stand about something. I'm not sure we quite understand what Rashi is taking a stand on. Until we take a look at, I put on Ramakavas, I put a Ramban, right? I put a Ramban on the Ramakavas. I realized afterwards that it's impossible to know which Rishon I put on because I didn't have the top of the page. So I ask your humble apologies in that one. So if you take a look
The tiny part that grew is usher. That's all we're dealing with, right? The growth is usher. The growth is wheat that grows in another parent. So that's usher. So that's what Rashi's dealing with. That usher, he's saying his butthel in the pot that I brought in is 200.
I was thinking about this Lakuna also. So according to Rashi, the Rashi is telling us that I mean, Rashi's arguing like this. Right? Once I walk in, so every molecule that's growing is awesome.
When I walk into the Karen with a stalk of wheat,
right.
Is it usher to walk it? Is it usher to hold a piece of wheat in a carrot?
You're asking is it, right, if nothing grows, then it's mutter. Right. Right. Nothing happened yet.
So I'm allowed to bring in a stalk of wheat.
Right. Nothing happened. Right.
So that's heter.
Right.
Now it grows. Every second I'm standing in the carrot.
Right. The fish is tiny.
That's usher.
Right, so that the fish is telling, I think, correctly, that Rashi is not per se taking a stand and calling the Dabra HaMutter being bought though. Tosfos was taking a stand. Tosfos had a problem. Tosfos asked the Kasha, why don't we say Bittol? And Tosfos had a couple of Tosfos had a Kasha, why don't we say Bittol by the case of Kilei Begadim? So Tosfos had to come up with a whole Shtibul Torah to explain, because the nature of the Isser what was the implication of what was the mashmos of Tosfos? That if not for that piece of information, what would we have said? We would have said bittul, even though it's what? Even though it's dara mutter. So the diuk is from Tosfos, right? I'm sorry, you're right. In Tosfos, it's clear that bittul can be chal on a davar shel heter. Tosfos is saying you can't have bittul on isurim which are also derech eruvin, derech tarovas.
But it's already murav, it's already in the baguette.
No, but it's not. Tosfos is asking Kasha, let that one piece be viewed separately and say, well, it's bottom. But there's nothing wrong with that piece.
That would be the
Maskon
of
Tosfos. Tosfos doesn't say Hetel or bottom. Tosfos says when the nature of the Yisra is Derech Erevin, it's not bottom. That's what Tosfos says. Look at that Tosfos again carefully. Tosfos never said Hetel or bottom.
But how is Tosfos making the analogy between a Dabra Mutter limit I got lost in a Dabra Mutter to this. Here, there's a definite usher.
No, Tosfos make the analogy. We brought up the analogy. No, Tosfos didn't make the analogy. Tosfos was just talking about the Shabbos story, right? So Tosfos asked the Kasha, why don't we say that the in a sense, Mutter thread should be Bottel and everything else, right? So Tosfos says, no, you can't say Bittel because the nature of the Yisra doesn't lend itself to Bittel. But if not for that, what's clear from Tosfos? There's nothing wrong with Hetera being Batel. There's nothing fundamentally wrong with the Dabra Mutter being Batel. It's just that when the whole nature of the Yisr is a Yisr Derech Erevin, then it can't be Batel. You're right. So Hans said, I backtrack. You're right. That according to Rashi, you can't see one way or the other. Because Rashi's talking about there is a Shtik Yisr. But from that Tosfos, you see this, you say that a Dabra Mutter could potentially be subject to Bittel, but not for the fact that it's a Yisr Derech Erevin.
Yeah, okay.
We'll get this. So by saying, let's take a look. When I was preparing this Mamre Kermes, I was looking in the fancy Rambans, in the old Rambans, at the fine words on the page. Okay, so it's not going to be on the same page in the Rambans. Let me show you which ones it was.
The Hayi Damrina.
It starts a new paragraph. Yeah, the Hayi Damrina, okay?
The fourth one.
Okay, so the Ramban is referencing a sugya Maseches Nedarim. Piyahidi Aminim Benedarim, Botzel Shal Shvius, going back to the 10, the commentings before, Botzel Shal Shvius, Shenota Bishvinis, Verabu Gidulav Al Ikro, Mahu, Gidulav Het of Ikro Isser, came into Rabu Gidulav Mutter. What in the world's flying? So we have an onion from the Shemitah year. So it was planted in the Shemitah year. So it has all the dinim of Shemitah, whatever those dinim are, whatever Yisurim and Kedushas, whatever halacha governs of onion. So it definitely had a status of Kedushas Perishvitz. What did I do? I take it out of the ground, And then I replant. Then again, I know about as much about planting onions as I knew about some of the lime stuff. If I replant it, it's going to keep on growing. So now if you think about it, lifted the same onion, part of the onion grew as a Shemitah onion, and part of the onion grew as a Shemitah onion, which of course there's no ramifications, la'alocha. What's the din? So the Gemara in the Dharma is a shayla, whether we can apply the principle of Rabu Gidula of Ikra. What's the din? Can we say that if more of the new stuff grew, more of the eighth year of the onion grew, so somehow that could be mevatel to shmita stuff that grew before. That's the shayla the Gemara raised in the Masechta Sidur. So Rabu Gidula of Ikra Mamu. Gidula of Heter, Vikaro Isser. Given Shirabu Gidula of Mutter. So the Gemara in the Dharma raises the shayla and finally comes to the conclusion that it's okay. But as long as you have more than 50% growing in the eighth year, that's going to be mevatel whatever Isser grew in the seventh year. So comes the Ramban and bothered with the kasha. Says, wait a second. How in the world does bittul work under these circumstances? We have a principle in halacha that's called kama kama bottel, or rishon bottel. Namely, when if a little bit of X falls into Y, right now it's not bottel. So that little bit of X becomes, becomes meaningless. A little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. As long as something is happening drop and drop at a time, we just ignore every drop. We say the first drop, it's bottle, can't see it anymore, doesn't exist. The next drop, doesn't. Each time we say, comma, comma, bottle. Correct? I'm done. How did the Gemara say, if this onion here, it's a little onion, okay? Little onion of Isser. I stick it back to the ground at the eighth year, it starts to expand and grow and grow, and I have a tremendous onion with physically more heter than Isser. But wait a second. Every drop of heter that grew was what? It was kama kama bottle. That each drop of eighth year onion was bottled to the seventh year onion. So I might have an entire Isser of onion on me. So how in the world did the Gemara even talk about bittul by things growing? What happened to kama kama bottle? That's the Rabban's cash.
Because he took it out of the ground, it's a new growth. So he probably mopsick the growth. In other words, if he left it in, let's say the meeting year ended Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And he left it to the Rabban, then you would say it's kama kama bottle because from Monday to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it grew the same thing. But you took it out of the ground, it's finished.
No, but when he puts it back in, it starts to grow again.
It's a new onion.
No, but it's the same big piece of onion.
No, but there's a difference. If he never took it out of the ground, and Monday is Shemitah, and Tuesday's not Shemitah, so then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, kama kama bottle every single day. But he took it out of the ground, that's it. It's finished. Anything that grows, it's like a new onion.
But Levi's, it's all physically the same. It's the same onion. And a lot of ways, Henry says, a long business, it's not different. Well, the end of it.
I would see a
difference
between taking it out and leaving it.
I don't know. I'm not sure. So that's the effect of Ramban's cash. How's the Gemara in the Dharma dreaming about talking about bittul on the new growth? Tastes like kama kama bottle.
We don't always apply
kama kama. So comes Ramban and says, the reason is, hasam nami sof gidulin lavoihu. Says the Ramban. Exactly. When do we say kama kama bottel? That means when a drop falls in, and I have no idea of knowing, are any more drops going to come in? Maybe they will, maybe they won't. A natural growth. So we say, well, that one little drop that fell in was almost a separate entity. It became bottel, and that's it. It's done. It's finished. It's history. This is not the same as that. That's not like the kama kama bottle where little drops of wine are falling into a big barrel like the one at the end of a Vedazara. This is a growth. So if I put the onion back to the ground, of course it's going to grow. It's going to keep on growing. So you don't say, well, it grew a tenth of an inch, and that's it. It's bottle. The second I say it grew a tenth of an inch, it's going to grow another tenth of an inch. It's going to fight to keep on growing. The whole concept of kama kama bottle doesn't make any sense when it never stops. That's the Ramban's first step. Okay, so this is a detailed teretz in terms of the cloud when we do or don't apply kama kama bottle. But that's not what we're learning. So it's a nice Ramban, but that's not what we're interested in. The Yesh Aymu says the Ramban, there are those who say, Hasam Hamutayma, you know why bittul doesn't apply to the atheist stuff? You know why we don't declare the atheist stuff is kamandalase, that's bottle? Mishum, the gidul of heter, v'atayma lo bottle. What did Ramban just say? the man just said, the parasha of Bittul doesn't apply to Davra Mutter. Eighth year stuff is Mutter. That's exactly what it is. Eighth year stuff that goes out says the Davra Mutter. The onion is Mutter. What's about Bittul? How can you say the eighth year stuff is bottled to the seventh year stuff?
But it's still bottled to the, there's still Heter and Isser involved.
Correct. So the Isser is bottled. No, but the, yeah, so what is the Ramban saying? No, what's the Ramban saying against who? The Ramban's not saying like Tosfos. The Ramban's not saying that Isurim that a derech Erev are not subject to Bittul. The Ramban's Yeshom are saying Heter was also.
But this is a case of Heter and Isser.
Right, Heter is not Bottle and Isser.
But when we're talking about like Kilayim, it's
So what? What's the difference? But Heter Bittul doesn't speak to Dvar Mamo Torah.
Why should that be?
That's the next question. Why should that be? Why shouldn't Bittul speak to Dvar Mamo Torah? Acharam Mahatos? If Isser is Bottle, why can't Heter be Bottle? So we know Tosfos disagrees. I mistakenly put Rashi disagreeing, we'll backtrack on that. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos holds that Dvar Mamo Torah is Bottle. It's just that certain Isurim don't lend themselves to Bittul. But the Ramban, Zot Yeshamrim, the first answer Ramban didn't buy into that, otherwise Ramban wouldn't have had to give the first answer. The Yesham set an answer, Ramban is Gival B'chidish, the Heter is not there. Why not? Conception, the Jewish question is right on target. Why not?
Because the only reason why Ezra's Bethel is because the starting aspect of it is Mother. Here the starting aspect is Isser. Meaning at no point do you ever have, meaning...
But I want to focus on the Heter. The Ramban's not focusing on the Isser. Ramban's saying, the cloud gold in Allah, Davra Mutter's never bought.
No, but it's the starting point, right? The starting point, when you have something Davra Mutter, right? The starting point is Heter, right? You have a pot of soup, that's Mutter, and then there's a drop of Isser that comes in, or
you,
more.
You're right,
more.
Every 99% of Bittles in Allah are Davra Mutter. Here's the other way around.
Here's the other way around. So it never gets off
but
the
I wonder what
you can never even have. Meaning, if... Let's say nothing drops in. You can't have it no matter what.
But I want to know why conceptually the principle of Bittul doesn't lend itself to the Ramban Torah. You're right. It's different than other Bittul. But I want to know, this is a Yesoid. This is a Ramban. This is a collector's item. This is a Sheshayim. This is a Hagdorah. This is a Yesoid. I want to know why. What it's based on.
This Dover that's Heter has like Hashivas. It's like the Sar of the Nazir. It's like he was made fancy so you don't want, you don't, it's almost like you never want the Bittul, the Heter to be Bittul.
The question is whether my wanting it is that. I mean, the idea of the v'chosh not being bottled is a true principle in halacha, but whether I do or don't want, I'm not sure that's the kaveya. I don't know.
Was it kari al shem iser? Like, so by the case of the onion, the mitzias is the onion that started the whole thing was a davar shebishvias. So it's kari al shem iser. So it doesn't matter the fact that it kept on growing. The mitzias is it started from a davar iser, so it's kari al shem iser.
No, but the halacha is that in the end of the day, the davar mutter is not bottle, and therefore the meila it's going to overtake the davar iser. So it's going to help me. Oh, okay. So I'll share with you a shayla. Shayla that appears in Shayla's Tshuva is any diyantif. Following shayla. The guy was, I don't know what really happened in that, but it's a good shayla. The guy's making strings. We put it to tzitzis. Small goof. He forgets to spin the wool lishma. He makes himself 20 strings that were never spun lishma. It's an apostle for tzitzis. Right? Puts them down at the table. I give out. I got to throw them out. They're worthless. Goes back to spinning wheel. Spins 500 other strings which were all made lishma. He goes to that mincha. Comes back. The kid was playing with all the strings. And now he's got a big pile of 520 strings. Rove of them were made lishma, 20 of them were not made lishma. What do you think?
Time out.
Time out, absolutely. No Rosenberg would ever do that.
It's a barrier. It has its other name. It's Nico.
Nico, I can't tell. I'm looking at the strings.
But the string is a string still. It's still a string.
So I take three pieces of meat. Two of them are kosher, one of them is treif. No labels on them. Close my eyes, kid comes in, fishes them all around. Now what? So man, it's hard, so what?
The Ramban
Mimino. Mimino?
I think it's similar to regarding it's like similar, I guess you would say it's similar to like a shepherd's piece that's usher. It's there in its entirety, right?
I got a good string here. You want? I'll give you another more in Yonah Diyomer from last week. Okay, I got three matzahs. All right, two of them were baked lishma. One of them wasn't baked lishma. They're all mixed up, and I want to take one of these into the seder. What's the difference? What am I asking everybody? Say, what's the other yantav asking? Yesh ladun.
Bittul enough to
add. Oh, now. Bittul b'raif we know, we're familiar with the Baro as a great remover of halachic properties. Can Bittul Berov endow halakhic properties also? Can Bittul Berov work to remove characteristics? Can Bittul Berov add characteristics? What I want to be yetzer with these strings, I want to be yetzer with this matzah, I need a halakhic characteristic called the Shema. I have to add this factor, this personality trait of the Shema to this matzah. I don't know that Bittul Berov can do that. Says the other Yantan, I have no idea what the answer to the question is. He's trying to bring it right, and we show him about if Bittul Berov only found, Bittul Berov can remove Nevein, can remove Treifus, can remove Chazir, but Heichan Shaman or the Bittul Berov can endow something with a character trait. That's a Sophic in any Yantan.
I mean, but don't you say you have Shuvin inside it?
This has nothing to do with Bittul Berov. He fell into the trap, the Shuvin said, there's Shem's Kasha. Because the Deshin says, how come the din of mikvahs have nothing to do with Bittul Berov? They don't. There's no din of Bittul Berov by mikvahs. It's a different halach. Tire of the chud. You fell into the trap, because the Deshin set you up for it. He asked the kasha, what happened to Bittul Berov?
I'm in good company.
So, Rabbi Sai, can we take this ending yantif and now move one step further? We're going to ask the most fundamental question, okay? You have to pass me a couple of cookies for this one. Not that I have to eat the cookie. I'm going to have to eat it because, you know, once I touch it, you know, I'll only have a cookie. It's chatzishia. I'm going to ask you the following shayla. Okay? Fascinating shayla about this cookie. All right? I want you to analyze the following. This cookie is a davar mutter, we hope. Right? Okay? Why is it a davar mutter? I'll tell you why it's a davar mutter. Because it's not an avela, not a trefa. It's not even chadash anymore. You have to pay it, okay? It's not perishvius. Let's say it's not from near nidachas. So I go through the list of all machos asuros, and I come to the realization, it is mutter. Why is it mutter? It is mutter because there's no iser on it. By default, if it doesn't have any characteristic of iser, by default it's mutter. That's one way of looking at this cookie. But there's another way of looking at this cookie. You know why this cookie is mutter? Once I go through the list and it doesn't meet any criteria of Isser, it's chalad of shame. Heter. Heter is not the absence of Isser. Heter is a characteristic in and of itself. It's Moshe Lamad of Adoyme, the famous Chakira with the philosophers about darkness. Is darkness the absence of light? Or is darkness a chal of shame? Darkness is an entity. Man of Kamina had understood the psuk by Machas Choshech. So it sounds like the Machas Choshech, that was what happened. It was a brisk macha. The first 3 days of Choshech was, there was no light. The second was the Yomesh Choshech, it was a mamosha, it was a din Choshech, was chalon. Mary Yaakov was sitting at the Seder this year with his newest brisk Haggadah. The new brisk Haggadah came out. So everything was that, there were two dinim, he said, there were two dinim in Orov and two dinim in Shechit. Everything was a shtickle tire of mamosha. Very fascinating. So Rabbi Sai, what is a Dovra Mutter? Is a Dovra Mutter simply the lack of a characteristic of Isser? Or is a Dovra Mutter, there's something here, there's something tangible, quote unquote, luckily tangible, called a properties and characteristics of Heter. Rabbi Sai, if you put two pieces of information together, you can begin to understand this Ramban. Yesh Oim, it's only Yesh Oim. Yesh Oim in the Ramban, you gotta understand. Yesh Oim Heter Lo Batel, you know why? Because if one side of the Anigyat is correct, that Bittul doesn't work to endow characteristics, Bittul only works to remove characteristics, and if you hold that Heter is not a pre-existing characteristic, so then not going to work. Bittul is just not going to work. The whole entity, the whole parish of Bittul is just not going to be chal. It's not going to make sense. Of course, this beer in the Yeshom is only as true as both of those statements were. We have to be willing to commit ourselves to the understanding that Bittul Berov, the whole parish of Bittul, doesn't work to endow things. It only works to remove. And we have to also be convinced that our beer and Dovra Heter is such that it's not really a physical, not really a halachic entity. It's just a lack thereof. I'm not sure either one of those suggestions are correct. I'll tell you what's been bothering me for the last 24 hours. A lot of things bother me. This particular thing's been bothering me for the last 24 hours. What's the mocha of Bittul Berov? Wie steht in the Chumash Bittul Berov? Gemara says 100 times, but the rice is a chavit trip bottle. How do you know? Haram Mahabas. So the Gemara never says it, Rashi says it. Mesechus Gittin, the Rashi writes the Torah, it's Haram Mahabas. What in the world does Bittul Barov have to do with Haram Mahabas? What is Haram Mahabas talking about? It's talking about you have a shot, you come to a base, there's two dayanim sitting, I broke them, and one man says, I don't think you broke them. The din is you follow two out of three dayanim. Can someone explain to me what the world has to do with Bittul Barov? Rove works in many different ways. Rove works to be Mavaris Suffolk. I have a piece of meat and I'm not sure where it came from. Did it come from that store? Did it come from that store? That's not a Tarevis. There's no Tarevis. Nine stores say kosher, one store says straight. I find a piece of meat on the floor, I have no idea where it came from. I have a latest a Suffolk. I'm trying to be Mavara where this meat came from. That I understand. That's Acharan Lahatis. I have a latest a Suffolk. Did Ruben break the window? Did he not break the window? Two people say he did break the window. One guy says he didn't break the window. I understand. Two out of three says Chayav. When Mavara the Suffolk, then he broke the window. I understand. But that's the chalal that Bittul is. Bittul is not a beer as status. Bittul is a din. Bittul is a din that the Dover Hab bottle takes on all the traits of the Dvar Mavatlan. To such an extent, you know what the Rush writes? Dover Neuva Oy of the Rush writes in the Sechas Chulin. If you have three pieces of meat on the table, two of them are kosher, one of them is treif, and you walk down the room by mistake, they got mixed up, you know what you can do? You can take all three, make them into one deli sandwich, and take all bite at once. So it's in Russia. It's mutter, midderaisa, and midderabon. That day is secret, we probably pass it like the Russian, but ikka mikra. Maybe chum is the rabon, and maybe, maybe not. But the Russian is probably right. You know why the Russian is right? Look, the Russian, you know what bittul is? Bittul is iser nefach lios heter. It's nothing to do with bir hasvekis. There's no suffix here. I know with absolute certainty these guys eating chazer. It doesn't matter. Iser nefach, the same version was said, you can't eat chazer, said bittul beroif. Where did it come from? What does that have to do with Dayan? What's not Dayan? What in the world have to do with Dayan? So Dr. B'chayim in this Chedushim, Shas, in the third verb of Kama, every Din Torah, when you have two Dayanim in Chayim, one Dayan says Potter, this is a brisket Torah, this is a real brisket Torah. There are two things that are happening. Two Dayanim in Chayim, one Dayan says Potter. We have to be Mevar the Sofek. Is the guy Chayim a Potter? That's one Din of Raif. You see from Parshas of Dayanim that Reiv is a Mevar of Sfekis. That's what's mocked you to take the piece of meat in the ground and eat it based on the 9 out of 10 stores. But then there's another din. Just because you were Mevar the Sofik, the guy is probably Chayav. The first Mishnah Seren says, Dinimam is Mishloisha. You have to have a Beis Din of 3, Paskin, that he's Chayav. If two Dayanim say one way, one Dayan says the other way, you don't have a Beis Din of 3. So how could the Torah ever give us a parsha? How could the Torah say with a straight face, follow two out of three dayanim, it's okay, pays the money. But I don't have three dayanim paskin in his head. I only have two paskin. What's the answer? When the third dayan said potter, you know what he really said? He really said chayev. You know why? Because potter nepach lios chayev. It's a nepach lios heter. Azoi shtein Reb Chaim. Lo yuman, you have to remember Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim looked at the parsha of Mishpatim, and saw on every Din Torah an application in the kitchen. He said, licked in Din Torah is that Chiddush HaTorah that Reiv is not just Mevar Sveikis, Reiv is a revival, it changes characteristics. No? According to this beer from Reb Chaim, I don't know of any other beer. According to this beer of Reb Chaim, the Dayan who says Potter, what do we say about him? What words do we stick into his mouth? Chayev. Did he say Chayev? No. From Potter to Chayev, is that taking something away or is that adding something? I'm adding a characteristic. I'm making you into a Mechayev. I'm not a Mechayev until I say the word Chayev. I think the guy's Potter. Truthfully, I think the guy's Potter in the bed. The Halach of Reiv says, no, it's because you said Chayev. So, literally, the very model of Reiv is the ability for Reiv not just to remove characteristics, but it's to implant new characteristics. So we could be Peshet, and Yontif sitting in Bialystok, they're in Bialystok, sitting in Bialystok philosophizing in the 1800s. What's the din? Is Bittul Barov? Yes, yeah, Bittul Barov this? Can the gift card this? Take away Zokter Chaim in Brisk. He says, what do you mean? How can you be fallible about that child? Of course Bittul Barov gives characteristics. The very mock of Bittul Barov gives characteristics. That doesn't bode well for these Yeshomer and the Ramah. Means the whole defense of the Yeshomer is predicated on two assumptions, and we just threw a monkey wrench at the first assumption. So we have to work it out for something. Next week, so I continue a little bit. I was, at least I was burned the cookie, no? What was my thing?
What's compelling? What's compelling Reb Chaim to take it to the next level? Why do you have to say that?
Because Reb Chaim said, how in the world does Adal figure out these two different things? Lagabre different. It's one din of row, but two rows, which is nothing to do with Tarev. There's no Tarev this thing. I know exactly what's still the post, exactly what's still the post. And I have a piece of meat that has a label.
If Rush is correct, then it has to also be true. And then the scare is a base.
The
Rush is correct.
Right. That model has to exist in basically.
It's relying on the Rush.
I mean, there's a place that's written in the Basra that says that all of Bitzel Isurim is also your status. That's what the first writ says, that you can eat one of the meat because you're probably okay. You can even risk eating the second one. Eat all three or five.
He argues on the Rush. So my question is on the Rush.
What compelled the Rush, which is most of Rishonim probably hold the Rush.
What compelled the Rush? How did the Rush know to say that?
What led
you
the Rush?
You could eat all three chatichas. You could safely eat.
Keep it honest, exactly. What led the Rush to... What would arise the Rush?
The Rush...
I got it. I think it was one more Russian fool in the 7th grade. Then we'll rise the rest of it.
Same thing as Shnei Shvilim, isn't it? They ask one after the other.
So that dinner Shnei Shvilim is probably a chulim in the Rabbanim. So the Rit claims that by the people of the robe, it's not much a dip in their eyes. The Tosef Rit holds it's almost no such thing as people of the robe. People of the robe is just a bureau of status.
Isn't there Rashi and Dafi and Sagar?
Right.
So how would Tosfos explain the Mishnah Kilayim? The Ech of Ematayim, yes, what kind of din?
I mean, according to anyone who's not buying into this Rashi, right, reading it, the Ramah,
it's
a different deal. Didn't trust it with this Kilayim based on a different Kilayim. None of it was Ech of Ematayim.
No.
Ramah, the end of the Ramah is what Ramah said. Okay, now it's good.
I'm sorry.